Incite Women of Color Against Violence is a national activist organization of radical feminists of color advancing a movement to end violence against women of color and their communities through direct action, critical dialogue, and grassroots organizing. On the line with us today is Julia Sudbury, a longtime member of Incite.
Hi, my name is Julia Sudbury, and I'm a member of Incite, Women of Color Against Violence. I've been working with Incite for the last 3 years on the national, what we call the National Mothership, which is the national board. And I'm also an academic. I've spent the last 8 years in Mills College, which is a women's college in California, and I'm currently up at the University of Toronto in Canada.
Could you describe for us a bit of Incite's history, mission, and some of its past projects?
Yeah, Incite actually came about in 2000. It was the result of women of color and Aboriginal women in the U.S. coming together and really looking at the anti-violence movement. It was mostly women who had been working around issues of domestic violence and sexual assault for sometimes, you know, 10, 15 years, and had just been totally frustrated that the anti-violence movement seemed to have such a narrow understanding of what violence was. Basically, if it's not violence perpetrated by an individual man against an individual woman, then it doesn't exist. And, of course, for women of color, violence comes in so many different forms. You know, it can be the violence of being taken away from your kids and locked up in jail, right? It can be the violence of being assaulted by a border control agent as you're trying to cross the border. It could be the violence of police brutality in the streets. There's just so many different ways in which women of color and Aboriginal women experience violence that were not captured by the anti-violence movement. And rather than sitting around and griping about it, a group of women decided to come together and to do something. And so they thought that maybe they would find out if there were other women of color and Aboriginal women like them thinking similar thoughts. And the one way to do to get to find that out would be to organize a conference. Mm-hmm. And so the first Color of Violence conference was held in Santa Cruz in California. And the conference organizers basically said, look, we want to talk about what are radical women of color perspectives and strategies on ending all forms of violence against women. And they just put out a call. And very, very quickly became absolutely inundated by women across mostly the U.S., but some from Canada and some from Mexico saying, yes, we really want to come. And ultimately, the conference was totally oversubscribed, and they had to end up turning people away. And I was at that first event. I wasn't one of the organizers, but I helped to set up some panels on women and prison. I'd been a member of the prison abolitionist movement for a number of years, and I was a founder member of Critical Resistance, which is a prison abolitionist organization in Oakland. And so they asked me, would I be willing to bring some folks together to talk about how prison is a form of violence against women, and particularly against Black women, Latinas, and Aboriginal women. And so I was at that event, and it was just so incredibly powerful. I think that 2,000 women of color and Aboriginal women just walked around on an absolute high for 2 to 3 days in Santa Cruz. And we debated, and we argued, we discussed, and we partied, and we sang, and we just did everything. And we realized that this was really the beginning of a movement. And so out of that first conference, which was just called The Color of Violence, Incite was formed, Incite Women of Color Against Violence, as a national organization. And it is a national U.S.-based organization, but now has increasingly become international with, as I said, members from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And it's an organization that aims to involve radical women of color to advance a movement to end all forms of violence against women of color and our communities, and to do that through direct action, critical dialogue, and grassroots organizing.
Why do you think it's important to have a group that that is composed mostly of women of color? What kind of need is there to have these kind of groups exist?
Well, the first need was really about the recognition that mainstream movements, mainstream women's movements, had failed women of color and Aboriginal women. So it wasn't that we all wanted to go off and form a separate space for the sake of it, but that the analysis that informed the women's movement was simply inadequate to talk about the experiences of women of color and Aboriginal women. You know, the starting point was always gender-based oppression in absence from any understanding of processes of colonization, white supremacy, immigration, and so on. And that simply didn't capture our experiences. So we needed to come together in a space where we could actually put our own experiences at the core. Because what normally happens is that whenever women would raise an issue and say, yes, but this doesn't fit our experiences, well, yes, but that's a minority experience. And so we have to speak to the majority. And so we created a space in which women of color and Aboriginal women are the majority, and so that we could actually put our own experiences there at the core. And in so doing, we, I think, created a much more powerful movement and a much more encompassing movement that actually does incorporate also the experiences of, for example, working class white women or immigrant white women or other forms of marginality that even white women might have. Interestingly, at the Santa Cruz conference, white women did attend as allies. And in many instances where perhaps workshops were overfull, white allies deliberately chose to leave the room and to leave space for women of color, recognizing that in everyday life, we were always the ones who were excluded. And for once, this was an opportunity for the experiences of women of color and Aboriginal women to really be at the center.
We are now approaching March 8th, which is the day set aside by the United Nations as International Women's Day. Could you give us your perspectives on why you think it's important to highlight women's struggles and women's lives on International Women's Day?
I think what's so important about International Women's Day is that women in the Global South have really taken the lead in celebrating and maintaining this day. And so it's a moment when the experiences of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be oppressed as a woman becomes much more intersectional, and we really begin to understand that issues of militarism, access to clean water, access to food, refugee issues, you know, these are women's issues, right? The women's issues are not the issues that were established by the mainstream white women's movement in the early 70s, which really were limited to, I guess, the forms of oppression that perhaps middle-class white women experienced. And so I think that it's really important because we're able to think about creating transnational solidarities. We're able to think about the ways that we as women, whether we're women of color or white women in the West, are complicit with the oppression of women in the Global South. And we do benefit from those global inequalities and inequities. And so we begin to come together on International Women's Day, both to challenge and recognize our own marginalization and oppression, but also to recognize our own complicity and our own privilege and to challenge that. And I think that's what's so powerful about International Women's Day.
I wanted to ask you about how organizing happens within Insight. You are primarily based in the United States, but you did mention that you are broadening out, going into countries like Canada and Mexico and going as well internationally. How is it that this collective comes together and works together? How do you organize together as a group?
Well, I would say that Insight has predominantly brought women across the U.S. together, and now, you know, more recently, women from Canada. So it's not something that, you know, I couldn't claim that it was an international or global movement, although we are in dialogue with other women's movements, particularly in the Global South, and particularly through the World Social Forum, which has been a great space for us to do those kinds of dialogues. Basically, Insight is organized from the grassroots up in the sense that there are local chapters. And each local chapter has local autonomy to decide what are the main issues and concerns affecting them and how are they going to organize. Insight as an organization privileges and prioritizes the experiences of working class women of color, immigrant women, Aboriginal women, and so on. So we try to develop local strategies that do deal with these experiences. So, for example, we're not necessarily about, for example, supporting a professional women of color group or something like that, which not to say that that's not a valid thing, but we recognize that women who are most vulnerable are likely to be the most vulnerable to violence. And so local chapters have done things from organizing violence-free zones where they work with young women of color who are working on the streets against violence or police harassment, working to try and challenge military recruitment, particularly which is targeted at young black and Latino men and young women in the U.S. So there's just been a whole array of different issues that women have organized around on the grassroots level. One of the important ways has been through culture and through the arts. I think that this is a way that really gets beyond the sort of the written word or the sort of more formal educational type approach. We, in the last year, had an event called Sister Fire. And Sister Fire was actually a cultural arts tour by radical women of color. There was a group of women that traveled across the country, and at each stop, local women of color came together who were poets, you know, slam poets, who were singers, who were all forms of different artists, and they created pieces that spoke to different forms of violence to really begin to kind of create a buzz around anti-violence work and to really create a lot of excitement about it. And I was based in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area at that time, and I helped organize one of the stops, which was actually in the San Francisco County Jail. And that was an incredibly powerful event where many of the women inside also came and shared their music and their own experiences of violence and really building solidarity through the walls. So that's another example of some of the work that Insight has done at a local level. And then at the national level, as you mentioned, there's this national mothership, which is like a national board, which is, of course, made up of, you know, women who are also involved locally. And the national tries to do things that will perhaps create more of a national conversation. For example, the Color of Violence conferences, the one that's coming up in New Orleans. Also coordinating national campaigns. For example, we have a national campaign which is being launched at the conference in New Orleans, which is focusing on militarism and military recruitment and the impact on women of color. So, you know, these are sort of the different approaches that we're taking both at a local and at a national level.
Could you give us some information about the conference that is coming up in March?
Yeah, well, this is going to be the third Color of Violence conference. So the first was in Santa Cruz, the second was in Chicago, and this is the third, and it's in New Orleans. And it's between March the 11th and the 13th, so it's coming up very soon. And it's going to be held for the first time not on a university setting. Oftentimes it's easy to hold conferences at universities because they just have all the space and so on. But there's something intimidating about that for many women of color, and we were so excited that the Treme community in New Orleans welcomed us in. And the Treme community is a historical community that was originally a free black community during slavery. And so they have a wonderful history of autonomy and strength of organizing that community. And you can only really go and organize events at that community if the folks invite you in. And so it's going to be held at a number of different venues that are all adjacent in the Treme, including a school, a community center. The focus of the conference is on stopping the war on women of color. And it's really thinking very broadly about this world war. You know, what are the different wars on women of color? What are the different forms of violence, and how do they all add up to a war on women of color and on our communities? And so we're thinking not only about domestic violence, sexual violence, and so on, but we're also thinking about militarism and war, and how that has affected women in Iraq and in Palestine and so on. We're also thinking about colonization and the impact on the historical legacy of, for example, the residential schools, and how that has constituted a war on Aboriginal women. We're also looking at questions of violence against lesbian, transgender, bisexual, intersex folks, and how that is part of this overall war that we're fighting. So there's a whole range of different ways of thinking about this war on women of color and how we can come together to organize against it.
Now, if people are interested in either attending the conference or getting more information about the work that Insight is doing, how can they plug into that sort of information?
Yeah, they would go to the website, which is www.insight, that's INCITE, -national.org. And that's www.insight-national.org. And there you can download the conference registration form, and you can see the schedule. There's a really exciting lineup of workshops on every imaginable topic, from child sexual abuse, building strategies against interpersonal violence and street harassment, redefining security and talking about the cost of militarism and imperialism, looking at racism in the transnational adoption industry, the prison industrial complex. I mean, I could just go on. It's an incredible lineup, so I really encourage people to look at that. And all of these workshops have been put together by radical women of color who put in proposals saying, this is the work that we're doing at a local level, and we want to share that work. There's also a series of workshops that are basically skills-building workshops, sharing our organizing skills, and talking about how to think about fundraising and funding a movement without relying on the state and foundations, talking about how to use radical media and so on. So it's something. There's something for everybody, that whether you want to kind of get a better analysis, whether you want to share your experiences, whether you want to learn specific organizing skills, whether you're into hip-hop and culture. There's a couple of dance parties that are going to be there. So, you know, it's going to be a wonderful celebration, a wonderful party, but also really a serious space for us to really create our own analysis and to build a movement.
Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today, Julia.
Thank you so much.
We were joined on the line by Julia Sudbury, who is a member of Insight's National Organizing Board. To get more information about Insight or Insight's conference that is coming up in March in New Orleans, don't hesitate to visit their website at www.insight-national.org. That's www.insight-national.org.